song. You know, the title of my message is called How to Avoid Distractions. So before we begin, we should say a prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, I just thank you so much for this Sabbath day, and I pray that you may help us to focus as we are about to hear this message. I pray that you will help our minds to be free from any distractions, and also help us, Lord, to learn how to spend more time with you, to avoid the distractions from Satan that keep us from spending time with you, and help us to purpose in our heart, Lord, to make you first. May we see your goodness and love that will draw us to spend time with you. And may you help me, Lord, to share my experiences and to share the message you have put upon my heart. May your Spirit help us to retain everything we learned today. In Jesus' name, amen. As a kid growing up, I like looking at books with pictures. Any of you guys the same? There's one of my favorite books. It was called Where's Waldo? And it's a book with lots of different things going on, and you're supposed to find a little man named Waldo with a striped shirt. You guys seen those books before? A full cluttered picture, and you gotta look and search and search and look. Well, that was my favorite thing to do as a kid, and I remember looking at one book, and it was a Christmas scene, and a factory was trying to make presents, and a fire went on in the factory, the ribbon started going out of control, tangling all over the floor, the workers start tripping and falling down, and all in this, I gotta look for this one guy, and sometimes I would look at that, like, wow, that's such an interesting situation going on there, and I would just get distracted from looking for Waldo. You know, this world today, it's full of so many distractions that are so captivated to look upon. And in the midst of all the things that are in the world, all the distractions that Satan tries to pull us to captivate our minds, we're supposed to find Jesus. And Satan is ever hard today, trying to distract you and I, trying to distract the men of our home, trying to distract our church families. And he continues to distract us, so we cannot spend time with Jesus. Our scripture today was Proverbs 8:17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. This morning, I want to share with you just 3 points that the Lord has brought to my attention that I need to apply in my own life. And I believe this message the Lord put on my heart because I need to hear this message the most. 3 points how to avoid distraction. The first point, we need to build an appetite for Jesus in order to avoid distractions. Did any of you guys find food this morning? How many of you guys had a hard time eating breakfast? You know, we have an appetite for breakfast, so we wake up in the morning and like, that's almost one of the first things on our mind. We want to look for something to eat. And how much times do we eat per day sometimes? 2, 3, 4, Thanksgiving, Christmas holidays, sometimes 5. You know, that's not too good, but we eat so much food because we have an appetite or we're hungry. Right? We know it tastes good, right? And it's the same way, like, how much more important is spiritual food than physical food? In Luke 4:4, the Bible says, Jesus says that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God. How much more then should we be eating from the word of God? In Jeremiah 15 verse 16 says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Psalms 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Listen to the words of Jesus. He says, blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know, if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we can have assurance that Christ He's going to supply abundant food to fill that hunger and thirst, right? He wants us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, there's a tribe in Africa who, there's this whole tribe, and the men of this tribe have to supply food for the family. So two men, they go on a journey with one rifle and one bullet, because that's all they got. And they go out and they travel for days through the forest. It's cold, lots of different snakes and all kind of things out there in the forest. And they're in search for a big enough animal to feed the whole tribe back at home. So about after a week going by, they find this big ox. And the one man, he puts his one bullet into his rifle. He aims and he fires, he shoots, and the animal dies. Another man, he starts a fire, and he just makes a big fire, and all the smoke goes up in the sky. The people in the tribe, they're waiting, and they wait to look out in the horizon for the smoke. When they see the smoke, about 30 people from the tribe travel through the forest following that smoke. They have all these empty bags. When they get there, they find the two men, they're burning the meat, trying to preserve it so it doesn't spoil. They pack up the bags and then they go back to the tribe. They go back home. And when they run out of food, they have to hope they can have another bullet. And they go out and they look for it again. How hungry and thirsty are you for God? How hungry and thirsty are you? We're so filled with abundant supply of spiritual food. We don't have to search for spiritual food. Like, I looked in my room the other day. I own 10 Bibles. I have 4 bookshelves full of devotional books and inspired books, Bible studies. On my iPod, I got the Bible, full Bible and audio. I got it by 2 different authors. I got a computer program to help me with my Bible studies. I got access to the internet that has full of many different sermons and more resources. I got so much food on my table. And sometimes I ask the question, how come I'm not eating so much then? You ever had a dog that always ate the same food? What happens to the dog? It loses its appetite for that food, right? Pretty soon you have to mix in other types of food or put in some supplements on that food before that dog will want to eat it again. Like, same way, like, we can't just study the same Bible studies over and over and over, the same topics over and over and over again. Like, sometimes we need to not just read the Bible, but have other supplemental studies like the inspired writings of Ellen White or some other inspired Bible studies like our quarterlies that we can follow along to help us so that we have more of an appetite for spending time with God's Word. My truck is falling apart. How many of you guys are like me that the only fluid you put in your vehicle is gas and just never look under the hood? That's how I am. I have to break that habit. But I need to, you know, when you open the hood, you got many other things that's going on. You need to open the hood, take a look at your oil levels. You need to take a look at the water in your radiator. You need to take a look at how much coolant I got. Do I even have power steering fluid in my car? How's the transmission oil? There's many things to check up on, but let's never do it. Sometimes I treat my spiritual engine this way. All I do is the same old routine of studying the Bible in the morning. Same old thing that I have no desire, no excitement. Like, it's just the same old thing, putting gas, keeping me going. The Bible says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting." Sometimes I have to take the time to just stop and do a diagnostic check on myself. Like, what parts of my own heart I need to add? What are the low levels in my heart? What are the struggles I got that I need to be filled? Am I struggling with being patient? Am I losing my faith? Maybe I need to spend specific Bible studies that morning on faith and patience. Does that make sense? Like, that's what the Lord's been telling me. When I eat, I have a hard time remembering to chew my food. Like, sometimes the food is so good, I just eat. I asked my students today in the younger class, how long does it take you to eat? And they were like, a second? 3 minutes? Like, what? Sometimes I'm like, I do the same thing with my spiritual food. It's like, I don't take the time to really chew it. And I wake up and I just read a scripture, or I just say a quick prayer, and I don't really chew the food. I don't really take in the nutrients. I just hear it from the surface, but it's not really helping me spiritually. Like, I need to actually, even if it's one scripture, just meditate on that. Chew it. Lord, how does this apply to my life? Like, let me show you how Satan works. This is a quote from Ellen White. It says, all the powers of Satan are set in operation to hold attention to frivolous amusements, and he is gaining his object. He is interposing his devisings between God and the soul. He will manufacture diversions to keep men from thinking about God. The world, filled with sport and pleasure-loving, is always thirsting for some new interests, but how little time and thought are given to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Satan's main goal is to keep us from spending time with Him, with God. He will distract us. He will put all these other interesting things in front of us so we don't spend time with God. Especially remembering Him as our Creator. What day did God give us so that we can set aside the distractions and focus in on Him as the Creator? Today, right? The Sabbath. To remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, 6 days. We don't have to work, but we can spend time with God fully, no distractions. But for some reason, do you think Satan wants us, he knows that the Sabbath is there for our good, to spend and focus on God, but do you think he's going to just let us go with no distractions on that day? Like, the Sabbath is going to be the day with the most distractions. It's going to be the day that is going to make us so drained. For some of us, especially those with church responsibilities, we get so busy that we just lose out on the blessing of the Sabbath. Or Satan will keep us from coming to church. Or he'll do anything he can, play in your minds, whatever it is, to keep us from gaining the Sabbath blessing. This is a time that we should guard the most, I believe. You know that verse we read? Seek God late in the evening, or seek God in the middle of the day. What did the Bible say? Seek God early in the morning and we'll find Him. What's so important about the morning? It's quiet. There's no distractions in the morning, yeah? Like, when I wake up in the morning, I don't hear anything. I mean, it's just silent. The only thing I hear is the chickens crowing, and they're just trying to wake you up. They're helping you, actually. Like, there's no distractions. It's also so good in the morning because you're not thinking about all the things you have to do. You haven't gotten to that stage yet. When you get out of bed and you go into the kitchen, people are calling you up if you wake up late. Oh, can you do this? Can you do that? Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. You look at your schedule. There's so much things you got to do. But in the morning, if you just wake up and make that time with God early, You can avoid all distractions and you can focus better. And I believe that's the reason why we're just studying in the morning is so much better. I want to read you my New Year's resolution. It's found from Steps to Christ, chapter Growing Up in Christ, page 70. It says, consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very first work. Let your prayer be, take me, O Lord, as wholly thine. I lay all my plans at thy feet. Use me today in thy service. Abide with me. And let all my work be wrought in thee. This is a daily matter. Each morning consecrate yourself to God for the day. Surrender all your plans to him, to be carried out or given up as his providence shall indicate. Thus, day by day, you may be giving your life into the hands of God. And your life will be molded more and more after the life of Christ. How many of you guys want that kind of experience? Satan, he doesn't want you to have that kind of experience. I'm going to share with you some encouragement. This was given to young people. This is from a book called Messages to Young People. It says, nothing is apparently more helpless, yet more invincible than the soul that feels its nothingness and relies wholly upon the merit of the Savior. God would send every angel in heaven to aid of such a one rather than allow him to be overcome. You know, one morning I woke up and I was so distracted. I mean, there was things on my mind that I didn't feel like I could spend time with God. And I almost felt like I was being harassed by Satan. So I wake up in the morning and I close my eyes and I say, Lord, I pray for your angels to come down to heaven, right? Come down into my room right now and help me. Help me, Lord. I pray that you'll prepare me for studying. And I mean, just like that, I believe God helped me. I was able to do my devotions that morning. And there's power in prayer. The second point is pray to avoid distractions. It's a wonderful thing that we can pray effectually, that unworthy, erring mortals possess the power of offering their requests to God. What higher power can man desire than this? To be linked with the infinite God, that feeble, sinful men can have the privilege of speaking to their Maker. There's a quote that says, what the angels of heaven think of poor, helpless human beings. They're subject to temptation when God's heart of infinite love yearns towards them, ready to give them more than they can ask or think, yet they pray so little and have so little faith. When somebody asks for you to pray for them, one thing I've learned is to pray for them right on the spot. Because I already know from too many times that I'm going to forget to pray for them. And I won't be able to ask God to help that person. Like, they're asking for help. How much more should we pray super fast and ask God to start helping them, right? Like, try to make that a habit. Can you pray for me? Let's pray right now. How important is oxygen to keep you alive? You know, that's a foolish question. But prayer is the breath of the soul. It's like the oxygen that keeps our Christian experience alive. It's the secret to spiritual power. What happens to the distractions when we pray? I want to share with you this quote. It's from Ellen White. It says, Satan is ever ready to insinuate that prayer is a mere form and avails us nothing. He cannot bear to have his powerful rival appealed to. At the sound of fervent prayer, the host of darkness tremble, fearing that their captive may escape. They form a wall around him. that heaven's light may not reach his soul. But if in his distress and helplessness the sinner looks to Jesus, pleading the merit of his blood, our compassionate Redeemer listens to the earnest, persevering prayer of the faith and sends to his deliverance a reinforcement of angels that excel in strength. And when these angels, all-powerful, clothed with the armory of heaven, come to the help of the fainting, pursued soul, the angels of darkness fall back, well knowing that their battle is lost, and that one more soul is escaping from the power of their influence. And then it says, prayer is the Christian's life. And when I think about the reality of that, like it makes me want to pray more. You know, I've been starting to exercise more. When you want to get strong, you got to lift weights, you got to go to the gym, eat healthy, right? And I've been lifting weights consecutively for about a month, and I've noticed that going to the gym is something that takes a lot of determination. Like, you're straining your body and you're trying to get stronger and more muscles, and for some reason it's so painful to do, but in order for you to gain the strength, in order for you to become stronger, I have to keep on doing it, right? If I don't do it for a month, then I'm going to lose the strength. I have to keep on doing it. Another quote from Messages to Young People. Prayer brings the heart into immediate contact with the wellspring of life and strengthens the sinew and muscle of the religious experience. Neglect the exercise of prayer or engage in prayer spasmodically now and then as seems convenient, and you lose your hold on God. The spiritual faculties lose vitality. The religious experience lacks health and vigor. It's the same way with our physical exercise. We lose strength if we don't exercise. We lose our walk with God if we don't pray. It's that important. I have to make a schedule in order to help me to go to the gym. And it's also important to make a schedule to plan out your time with God. The third point is, try making a schedule and sticking to it to help avoid distractions. You know, one of the hardest things for me, I don't know why, but it's the hardest thing is to make a schedule. And I know it sounds easy. You just write things down, put a time next to it, and do it. But for some reason, doing it's the hard part. And, you know, I grew up just having no schedule. Like, me and my friends would plan to go to the beach. And we'd say, oh, let's go surf the beach this afternoon. Okay. When you let go? I don't know, whenever we get time, we just go down there surf. Okay. And then pretty soon, we get busy with our day. And next thing you know, me and my friend is flying to the beach because we only got 15 minutes left to surf. The sun's going down. And we would drive there, jump in the water, catch one wave, and go home. That's all because, you know, if we don't make a schedule to plan time with God, our devotion life is going to be like 15 minutes here, 5 minutes here, so sporadic. You know, I just praise God because I've been getting some help in making a schedule. I've been learning how to make a schedule from Desiree, and I'm not so good at it yet, but I thank God for her patience. And, you know, growing up in Hawaii, we're all on Hawaiian time, but we can't make excuses. Like, we have to make a schedule if we want to spend time with God. Like, some things I've learned is, All right. I'll teach you a little way to make a schedule right now so it can help you spend more time with God in the morning. Just say, for example, you have to go to work at 8:30. 8:30 in the morning, you got to leave to go to work. This is just an example. And you think, how long do I want to spend with God? I want to spend about an hour with God. Let's just say you want to spend an hour of Bible study. And that's 1 hour of Bible study. I want to spend about 15 minutes of prayer before I study my Bible. That's 1 hour and 15 minutes. After I study my Bible, I want to spend about 15 minutes to kind of like apply what I've learned or just reflect on what I've learned, you know? So that's 1 hour and 30 minutes. Okay, I want to spend like a total of 1 hour and 30 minutes with God in the morning. All right, what else do I need to do in the morning before I leave to work? I got to shower, I got to get ready. Okay, well, showering and get ready, that would take me about 30 minutes. I also got to make breakfast, I got to make lunch. That would take me about another 30 minutes. I got to eat my breakfast, that would take another 30 minutes. Well, combine all those things, that's 3 hours before 8:30. So 3 hours minus 8:30, 5:30. That means I got to wake up at 5:30 in the morning to get all this done. Now, if I want to wake up at 5:30 in the morning, how many of you can just wake up at 5:30 in the morning? I got to go to bed early, right? So how much hours of sleep do you need to be strengthened and a healthy 8 hours of sleep? So subtract 8 hours from 5:30. What is that? 9:30 at night. I got to be in bed sleeping at 9:30 at night in order for me to wake up at 5:30 to feel like I want to wake up at 5:30, spend my time with God, and do all the things I need to do. But I noticed, like, I can't just go to bed. I have to get ready for bed. I also want to do a little devotion before I go to bed. That's 15 minutes, okay? So just time it out and figure it out. It's just a simple formula, like, of just figuring out how long it takes to do things and just make it out. I want to share with you, because I know this is true. If you don't like making schedules, you're going to get very discouraged because you're not going to be keeping your schedule that you just made. You know, like, so much times we make New Year's resolutions, we're just so not used to doing that thing that's so new that we give up because you just get discouraged because you can't follow through with it, right? Don't get discouraged. What's important? What's the purpose of making the schedule? To avoid distractions so you can spend more time with God, right? So even if you're waking up at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock and on your schedule says 5:30, still put God first when you wake up at 7 o'clock. Don't let the schedule control you, but you control the schedule so you can benefit from it the most. Don't get discouraged, but try to shoot for that goal, to wake up early and spend time with God. Because Satan, he's going to throw all kind of thoughts in your head to keep you from spending time with God. And I just want to share, like, spending time with God, especially for us men, is important if we have families. Because I've been learning that we as men in our family, we're supposed to be leading out in our worship. We need to be praying for our family, praying for our children. And if we want to be able to do this effectively, we got to be spending some time with God first. And learning how to make a schedule to spend time with God, learning how to avoid distractions, like making God first, studying something that's going to make you fall in love with God so that you have an appetite for seeking Him early. Like, this should be something we do like a priority, because Satan is out to destroy our families and to destroy our relationships with our friends and with the church family. I want to share with you a paragraph from Adventist Home. It says, God is honored by a Christian home. Fathers and mothers who make God first in their households, who teach their children that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, glorify God before angels and before men by presenting to the world a well-ordered, well-disciplined family. A family that loves and obeys God rather than rebelling against Him. It is no small matter for a family to stand as representatives of Jesus, keeping God's law in an unbelieving community. The presence of Christ alone can make men and women happy. Find your reason to spend time with God. Make a schedule and ask God to help you with that. Ask God to help you spend time with Him. How many of you guys want to make this your New Year's resolution? To make God first. To take time to be holy. At this time, we're going to sing our closing hymn, Take Time to Be Holy, page 500.